Hello, I'm Joe Mellis, and welcome to episode 78 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast, featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors, and not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland, or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. So here we are, recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, April 18th, 2023, looking back at Ross County versus Aberdeen and ahead to the home match against Rangers on Sunday afternoon. That and more to come. But first, to last Friday evening, as Barry Robson took his team north to the Highlands for a televised match against Ross County. And like Kilmarnock the week before, another team fighting for its very survival in the top flight. A potential banana skin which ended 1-0 for the Dons. Your thoughts, Andrew?
When you look at that game, it had all the hallmarks of a Derek McInnes performance from Aberdeen, didn't it? They get a goal, they have to defend a lot, but they manage the game really well. They come out with the victory. And I think that's as much as you can say. Ross County threw the kitchen sink at Aberdeen. They defended magnificently, so well that Kel Roos had very little to do in the way of any save other than the strictly routine. In the first half, I think he had a long-range shot to field from Conor Randall and a snapshot from Simon Murray, who I thought acquitted himself well for Ross County. Bags of energy, lots of effort, but ultimately, County couldn't find a way to break Aberdeen down. The Dons had the one opportunity through Duke in the first half, which he took. Second half, couple of chances. Brian Duncan had one that flashed wide, had an excellent effort that hit the bar. Then Leighton Clarkson volleyed one over. A second goal would have made life a lot easier for Aberdeen, but ultimately they saw the game out, despite losing Graham Shinney to the red card that we'll discuss in greater length later on, and despite Ewan Anderson finding way beyond 5 minutes of stoppage time, even allowing for the fact that there was a VAR check on the Shinney red card. It was close to 9 minutes of stoppage time, so it was a wee bit fraught towards the end, but ultimately a very well-deserved 3 points for Aberdeen. And once again, the results fell perfectly for the Dons this weekend, and they now sit proudly on 50 points, 5 points clear of the rest in third place.
Yeah, a great through pass from Clarkson and Duke got on it well and finished nicely, Dave. But as Barry pointed out later, it was a game where the defence took a lot of plaudits.
Yeah, and it's not something we've said after every Aberdeen game this season by any means. And yeah, as Andrew said, it was very much a Derek McInnes style of performance. And how many, if you remember back when Derek was in charge, how many 1-0 victories did we manage the game properly? And that's exactly what we did on Friday night. And the defence were excellent and they protected the goalkeeper magnificently. And it's all looking good. It's only ours to muck up now.
It's
not going to happen, of course.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, stop that immediately. And also, I think we better lay off on the Derek comparisons, because there's a fraction of our support that will be saying, oh, we spent 8 years trying to get him out. One of the many things I like about Barry is that he takes us all along for the journey in his post-match interviews, Andrew, talking about how he knew we'd go up there and they'd throw a lot of high balls into the box and over the top of us. How you want to win games by playing attractive football all the time, but sometimes that's not how the game's going to be won and you simply have to find a way. Friday night was definitely one of those, and he's right, isn't he?
Absolutely spot on. I mean, there's not much that you can criticise about a Barry Robson post-match interview, because as you say, he just lays out what he's done in preparation, what the team was going to, he expected the opposition team to throw at his team, and what he wanted his team to do. And that's exactly what happened. You know, right from the off, County were raining balls into the Aberdeen box, not really on the goal, but into the box and looking for all the scraps that they could pick up from. But you've got to give huge plaudits to the three central defenders, Angus McDonald, Matty Pollock, and in particular Liam Scales, who I think has sort of flown under the radar a wee bit in recent weeks. Matty Pollock himself said, look, myself and Angus McDonald get a lot of the credit because we're the new guys, but Liam Scales was absolutely magnificent on Friday night and aided and abetted by everybody else round about him. It was a real team performance from Aberdeen, typified by Duke, I thought, who always dangerous going forward, got the goal. That's him up to 18 for the season. And that's a remarkable record for, you know, two strikers who are not at either Rangers or Celtic to be beyond 15 goals for the season already. Still half a dozen games to go. And Duke, you know, towards the end of the game, he was popping up in the right back position to defend. You know, he's got great energy, but he's a real team player. And I thought it was as good a performance as we've seen in that type of game from Aberdeen for a long, long time.
Yeah, I was going to mention that about Duke. His work rate was phenomenal on Friday night. The other thing about Liam Scales is Liam has kind of, he's been through the ringer this season because he started off pretty well. I don't know if you can think back to the beginning of his time here, but we were all calling for him to be signed now and see if we can get a full deal for him now, because he was spraying passes out of defence like they're, you know, like he was a cultured world-class player and playing through balls and all of that. And then midway through the season, it all went sticky, and we don't speak about that anymore. But he's coming out of it the other end and seeing light at the end of the tunnel. So let's just ask on the Liam Scales thing, if there was a possibility of making that transfer permanent, would you take it, Andrew?
I think Aberdeen would, in all honesty. I mean, Liam Scales himself says, you know, it's up to Celtic. He's a contracted player to Celtic. But realistically, what chance has he got of getting into that Celtic starting 11? You've got Carter Vickers, you've got Starfelt, you've got the Japanese guy, is it Kobayashi that came in at the weekend? You've got Stephen Welsh. I would think he's fifth or sixth in the pecking order there. He would much rather be playing week in, week out like he is at Aberdeen. Obviously, a deal has got to be struck somewhere along the line with Celtic, but if they're willing, I think that Liam Scales would quite enjoy staying at Aberdeen and playing more football up here. He had a crisis of confidence for a spell. It was a malaise that spread through the entire team. It wasn't just Liam on his own, but I think he's really come into his own in recent weeks, and in particularly that performance on Friday night, which was as good as he's produced in a red shirt. Or a white shirt, as it was.
If you were Barry Robson, Dave, would you be looking to keep Liam Scales at the club if you could, or would you just go for another roll of the dice?
Well, I think if you could work something out with Celtic, as everyone said, Celtic's call, certainly the player. I agree with Andrew. I think that Scales would much rather be playing regularly at Aberdeen than being very much a fringe player at Celtic, and the way Celtic are just now, you don't see that changing in the near future. So, yeah, he's got my vote, certainly.
Graham Shinney, never sent off in his career before a few weeks back, now twice in a row. First of all, was that a sending off, Dave?
The VAR, it was never a sending off. And if VAR was doing its job properly, it was never a sending off. That said, unfortunately, I don't think we'll get anything anywhere with the appeal, because you do think the authorities will make sure that they're backing, because their own, because VAR has been getting so much of a pummeling lately, and to be honest, with good reason. But it was just as we were discussing before we came on air, it was just a good old-fashioned 50-50 ball. Watching it in normal time, the referee didn't see anything, didn't even give a foul, and yet it changed on the CISO, Greg Aiken, down at the VAR control centre. And it's not how VAR was made, and it's not how it should be. And it's ridiculous. As you say, been sent off in his life now. He manages it twice in a row. So frustrating.
We're appealing it. I watched something on the BBC Sport Scotland website yesterday where the refereeing expert said it was a red card all day long, and that anyone who thought otherwise needed to get with the times. Two things, Andrew. And you've actually called this one out for me before we came on. I thought Shinney had been booked already. So, you know, they could have downgraded it to yellow and he'd still effectively be sent off. He hadn't been booked. So that one's gone. Second, though, do you think this has been done not so much in the hope the red card will be rescinded, but that the appeal committee won't be able to convene before the Rangers game on Sunday? It's going to be a three-line whip, isn't it?
I mean, it's been prejudged by Stuart Dougal, which, to me, prejudice is the case for the appeal. Stuart Dougal's reasoning on verdict with Al Lamont of the BBC, to me, had an awful lot of holes in it. He says that the assistant referee's view was blocked. I didn't think it was. He was very close to the incident. Ewan Anderson could see looking across the pitch at the incident, didn't even give a free kick, and was quite content to let play go on, had he not had this voice in his ear from Greg Aitken. Now, Greg Aitken is obviously trying to referee the game. That's not what the video assistant referee is there for. And it's almost a case that they're now refereeing by freeze frame. I mean, Stuart Dougal said he didn't win the ball cleanly. I thought he won it pretty cleanly. I just think that Jack Baldwin didn't show the same level of commitment going into the challenge. And incidentally, Jack Baldwin could easily have been sanctioned as well, because he certainly caught Shinny in the knee when you watch it by freeze frame. I think there should be all the replays that go to the referee and the video assistant referee should be in actual time, because you can slow things down. And it looks horrendous. Another thing Stuart Dougal said, I think he could have pulled his foot out of the challenge. You're never going to pull out of a 50-50. And Barry said after the game, I would tell all my players to go exactly the same way as Graham Shinny went into that. You pull out of a 50-50, you're going to end up getting a serious injury. I mean, you're looking at it, foot makes contact with the ball, and then Stuart Dougal's going, aye, but he could have lowered his
boot, I think was one of the things he said.
A frame on, which is a millisecond. It's physically impossible to do. He's talking through his hat. To me...
So glad you said that.
Well, exactly. I'm not sitting in his hat, by the way. The thing is, he came away with this thing. That's the type of tackle that we're trying to eradicate. A 50-50 challenge. In other words, you want no contact in the game.
Or movement. Or speed, exactly. Speed of any kind.
So let's just, to be honest, I don't think there's a hope in hell of Aberdeen being successful with the appeal, but the game's gone. Game's gone if that type of thing.
Well, this is where and why conspiracy theorists exist, if you ask me, but there you go. Next up, another televised one, Aberdeen versus Rangers, a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday afternoon. A step up again in this one, Andrew. If Barry's win record is to continue, and if it does, I think it'll mean Celtic will mathematically win the league. It's over in real terms, but a Don's victory in this fixture would rubber stamp it, wouldn't it?
I think it would, because Celtic are 12 points clear, and that would put them 15 points clear with 15 points to play for. Hugely better goal difference. Yeah, it would rubber stamp it. But it is a step up for Aberdeen. But having won six in a row, you wouldn't bet against them. You cast your mind back to that last game between the clubs at Pittodrie, when Aberdeen were nowhere near as confident as they are now, and they ran Rangers very, very close. It will be a really fevered atmosphere at Pittodrie on Sunday afternoon, no question of that. And, you know, Barry will have the side set up to go in and try and win that game. I think Graham Shinny will be missing, but Ilber Ramadani should have recovered from illness to be back into the team. So it's like for like. And I think they have a right go at Rangers. And you saw what St Mirren did against them on Saturday. You know, have a go at them. They're by no means watertight at the back. And I think there's every possibility that Aberdeen could win the game. Certainly avoid defeat, which would keep Rangers' title hopes alive for another week. But that would be it. So really looking forward to this one on Sunday.
Yeah, Rangers haven't exactly chucked it. They'll want to win. Their fans and manager won't allow them to come up here and simply lie down in an end-of-season token kickabout, Dave.
Well, absolutely not. And as Andrew said, it's going to be, I would think it's going to be one not for the faint-hearted. On Sunday, we will miss Graham Shinny. We should have rambled Danny back, as Andrew's mentioned. But if Shinny's missing, which I think he will be a huge loss for Aberdeen, because he typifies the current Aberdeen attitude. But fortunately, the rest of the team seem to have taken on that mantle as well. And, you know, I'm reasonably confident for this one on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I mean, Aberdeen Rangers games, I never go into lacking confidence, because I just think, well, there's always, my friends always phone me up and say, why is it your team plays like Real Madrid whenever they're playing Rangers? Yeah, you know, you talk about raising your game. Well, I don't see there's anything wrong with trying to play your best in a game against teams towards the top of the league. You do the same against Celtic. Here's the thing, though. How's it going to go when Aberdeen host Rangers Sunday afternoon? Let's get a score predictor, Andrew.
Well, hopefully I can make it two correct predictions in a row. Just to let you know that I did say 1-0 to Aberdeen at Ross County. I'll go for the same scoreline. 1-0. This time, Miofsky to get the winner.
Dave.
Up, courtesy of Duke.
I'm going to go with a scoreline that should have been the last time the sides met at Pittodrie. 2-1 Aberdeen.
Okay. But,
and Duke to be amongst the scorers.
Well, I'm going to go 2-0 and Miofsky and Duke. So what a piece. I wonder what if you could get odds from a bookie on whether VAR will come into play on Sunday afternoon.
100 million to 1 on.
Let's move on to the under-18s next. In the box seat before this past week's fixtures as they travel to Oriam to play Hearts on Friday, Hamilton in their rear view with a couple of games in hand, but the Dons in a good place and knowing they just had to keep on winning, whether it's at a canter, like most of their games, or ground out the hard way. It doesn't really matter at this stage. The important thing was to keep winning. So how did it go when they travelled to meet Dundee United on Tuesday and Hearts on Friday, Andrew?
Well, sad to say, it was the worst week that they've had so far this season. Two defeats. They lost 3-2 at Dundee United. Alfie Bavage and Brendan Hamilton getting the goals in that game, and then lost 4-3 to Hearts, with Liam Harvey, Cammy Wilson and Lewis Pirrie getting the goals. So they're still top of the table, albeit the lead is cut to 4 points and Hamilton still have 3 games in hand. So they've really got to bounce back. And this week, their game is against Hamilton at Cormac Park on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So that takes on real importance for the Dons. Hamilton, meanwhile, they've got St Mirren this afternoon away in there as they're trying to catch up in their fixtures. Then they're at home to Celtic next Tuesday. So it's a busy spell for Hamilton as well. The Dons are down at Rangers next Tuesday as well. And you know, it's a three-way title race now between Aberdeen, Hamilton and Celtic. But Aberdeen and Hamilton in the pole positions at the moment, but this game really, really important for them on Friday. And in a way, because the first team game is on Sunday, that aids the under-18s, because Alfie Bavage only played half the game against Hearts, didn't play at all, played half the game against Dundee United,
yeah.
Didn't play at all against Hearts on Friday, because the first team was in action. I would think that Alfie may play the whole game on Friday against Hamilton, depending on how things are going, because his firepower, 38 goals this season already, you know, it's a big miss when it's not there, albeit Liam Harvey has stepped up to the plate and he scored a couple of goals the last 3 games. But if you can get Harvey and Bavage and Adam Emsley all playing up top, you've got 67 goals between the three of them. And that is, you know, not to be sneezed at. So big, big week for them. But we've seen in the past where they've had poor results, they've bounced back. And of course, Hamilton results this season, we'll lose 6-2 down there in the league. We'll win 5-0 down there in the league. We'll lose 5-2 in the League Cup up here. We'll win 6-0 in the league up here.
Yeah.
You try what the scoreline's going to be on Friday.
Well, I'd suggest there'll be a lot of goals, but, you know, that'll probably go wrong as well.
The other thing is that Hamilton's first team have got, you know, important fixtures, and they may withdraw some of their players in the same way as Bavage is being sort of pulled back from under-18 fixtures because of his involvement with Aberdeen's first team. So it may not be their strongest 11 that plays on Friday, but regardless, Hamilton are always up for a fight, so it'll be a cracking game at Cormac Park Friday afternoon.
Just on that week past, Andrew, where we lost to Dundee United and then Hearts. Hearts maybe not surprising at Orium, but Dundee United a little bit more surprising, I think, away losing to them. Is it a case, do you reckon, of the lads sort of suddenly realising, you know, glancing around with a few games left in the season and thinking, hang on, we're top of the league here, we could actually win this, and just getting a little bit jittery?
I'm not sure it was that. I think Dundee United actually played reasonably well last time I saw them at Cormac Park. And I think their league results have not reflected how well they've played in some of the recent games. Brian Grant, ex-Aberdeen player who we know well, in charge of the academy down at Dundee United, I think he's taken a more hands-on role with the under-18s. They've won a couple of decent games. They beat Motherwell 3-0 away from home before they beat Aberdeen. So it's a side that's kind of moving forward, albeit too late in the season to have any effect in the league table. But Aberdeen have still got some tough fixtures. There's no getting away from that. You've got Rangers away, Hamilton at home over the next week. You've then got Motherwell away twice. We've got Rangers at home, Hibs away, Hearts away, and finish the season with Dundee United at home. So there's no easy pickings there, and they'll have to be at their best to, you know, make sure that they get enough points. The thing that gives me confidence is their ability to bounce back from when things have been going wrong. They've never fallen into a rut of half a dozen really poor games. It's been a couple of games at most, and then back on the bike again, scoring loads of goals, winning games at a canter. So hopefully, as I say, they can kickstart that with a victory against Hamilton on Friday.
Well, let's hope so. And, a fight's not worth winning unless it's tough. Aberdeen women fighting their own battle against relegation. Their journey post-split started well with a 3-1 victory over Glasgow women, then stalled again as they lost 2-1 to Spartans, having scored in the first minute. Their next game came on Sunday against Hamilton. It finished 2-1 for the Dons, and one that could be an absolutely vital victory, Dave.
When I was watching the game unfold, they were 2-up, and then Hamilton got a goal back, and you thought, surely not, because that's happened so often for the girls this year, if you're allowed to call them girls, by the way, that they've been ahead in games and then are pegged back and they ultimately lose. But there is now that gap in terms of them avoiding the relegation of the playoffs. So fingers crossed that points advantage they've now got. But can't underestimate the importance of that win on Sunday. It was excellent and great to see.
Yeah, back in the pitch, away to Dundee United on Wednesday evening. As things stand, you mentioned there, the Dons 5 points above Hamilton on 21. Aberdeen are third bottom with a bit of a cushion, but Dundee United on 21 as well. And if they could just get the win against them, that would really take the pressure off, wouldn't it? So another important one, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can go either way. You know, the confidence will be reasonably high or very high after Sunday. As we've mentioned so often, confidence is such a huge, huge thing. But I'm pretty confident that they'll retain their position in the top flight now. But it's an important one. And as you say, John, if they can get something out of that one tomorrow night, it does, you know, ideally 3 points would really set them up for a good finish to the season. What has been overall, I would say, disappointing season, and they've obviously had all the off-field shenanigans with the change of manager and the fact that Gavin's still in temporary charge. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but obviously it'll be the summer now before there are changes, if there are going to be further changes at the top.
Yeah, Cove Rangers next. They've been hemorrhaging for a while, plummeting towards the trapdoor of the Championship, the one they'd opened so successfully just 12 months previously to gain promotion, but leaking goals like never before in the last few weeks and taking some real hammerings right up until last Saturday when they travelled to Hamilton and bagged a 1-1 draw. But was that the start of a bounce back or just patching up the wound and stemming the blood loss? Well, on Saturday, they welcomed playoff chasing Inverness to Balmoral to find out. It ended 2-1 to the visitors. In the matches around them, the only one that matters really is Hamilton's result. They travelled to meet second top Queen's Park on Friday night, and it ended 1-0 for Queen's. So nothing gained in terms of advantage for them, Dave. But the games are running out, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's going to take a minor miracle, I think, for them to. I mean, Paul's still seeing the right things, but they're running out of games. Another huge win against Arbroath coming up. But that was a bad one, particularly after taking the lead, through Ian Vigors on Saturday to lose out. Pretty heartbreaking. I messaged Andrew afterwards, basically saying that they're doomed, although it wasn't doomed, was not the word I was using in it, but which is so sad to see. But, you know, you can, while there's life, there's hope.
Mm.
But it's going to be very, very, there's nothing to indicate there's going to be a change, and they're still missing key players as well, which has been a problem all season.
Yeah, Hamilton play Inverness. Like Cove's next match is on Saturday, as you say, away to Arbroath. Hamilton host Partick Thistle then. Your feeling, Dave, I mean, can it still be done? It's becoming a more Houdini-esque challenge by the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it can still be done. But as I say, the form doesn't suggest it's going to be done. The players are still saying all the right things. They need to turn performances into to getting results. They can't just about it, but it's been the same for quite a long period now. I do hope they at least get into the playoffs, which gives them a fighting chance. But not looking good at the moment.
And if it looks like Cove are potentially dropping back to League One, Peter Head appear to be doing the same thing, heading for League Two. Club captain Ryan Strachan and Jordan Brown remain in temporary charge and got their first positive result last weekend when they fashioned a win over Edinburgh. They had a game in hand as well against champions-elect Dunfermline, which they lost 2-0. No real surprise there. On Saturday, they made the short trip to take on Montrose. The score in that one, Montrose 2, Peterhead 1. Clyde, meanwhile, faced the team Peterhead defeated last weekend, Edinburgh. That finished 2-1 for Clyde. So rather than look at the implosion of Edinburgh, a real tough one for the Balmoor side, Andrew.
Yeah, a bit of a sickener for them losing it at Montrose. But it was on the cards, to be perfectly honest. You know, Montrose are a decent side. I've got a good record at Links Park. Cove were looking for favours elsewhere. Edinburgh City obviously not in the mood to do that. Having lost to Peterhead the previous week, they felt duty bound to go and lose to Clyde this week.
By the same scoreline.
By the same scoreline. Well, it was 2-1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rather than 1-0.
Oh, was that what it was?
We've been talking about it all season. Peterhead's future lies in League Two. That, to me, was highlighted by the fact that the goal that they scored on Saturday through Kieran Shanks, that was his third of the season, and made him their joint top scorer with Conor O'Keefe and Jason Brown. 3 goals.
Wow.
But then you look at their league form, played 33, won only 3, none away from home, drawn 6, lost 24. They've only scored 16 goals, and 9 of these goals have been scored by the 3 players that I mentioned. They've conceded 78, so they've got the worst goal difference in Scottish senior football. And would you believe it, the second worst is Cove's, which
really?
you would never have put money on, to be perfectly honest, at the start of the season. These two having the worst goal differences in the game. So, you know, you're looking at the future games, Peterhead against Clyde this week. To be honest, it's needing more than miracles for Peterhead to stay up. They have to beat Clyde. Then they have to get a positive result down at Kelty, because their final home game is against Falkirk. Dunfermline, meanwhile, play Clyde, and Clyde play Montrose. That's their last 2 games. And you can't see Peterhead getting sufficiently better results than Clyde to be able to get themselves into the playoff position, not with these fixtures. Strange things happen at this time of the year. Kelty don't have anything really to play for. Dunfermline have already sealed the title. Montrose don't really have anything to play for. Falkirk have already made sure that they're going to be in the playoffs, but there's nothing in that league form that I've spoken about over the previous 33 games in the league for Peterhead to suggest that all of a sudden, having only won out 3 out of 33, they're now going to win 3 out of 3. So I'm sorry, but I think it's the end of the road as a League One side. Temporarily, we hope, for Peterhead. So the chances of that Cove-Peterhead local derby, if Cove go down, 0.
Strangely, and I don't know why I'm saying this, and I've always professed I'm not one of the experts, and I continue to, but I strangely have more faith in Peterhead staying up than I do Cove. I don't know why. Next weekend, as you say, the really big one, when Peterhead are home to Clyde. Had they matched whatever Clyde did Saturday past, it would have been a much bigger game, but now simply one they have to win without any shadow of a doubt. And that's just to stay on life support. And then you just never know if they manage to win that one. If they lose that, then it's all over.
Yeah.
On to the Highland League. Games happening midweek as well as the weekend currently. First, the results from midweek. Brechin City had dropped 4 points over the previous 2 midweek matches coming into this fixture. And the team they faced on Wednesday was one of the two which had drawn with them already. This time, though, an emphatic 5-0 victory over last year's champions, Fraserburgh. In the other games on Wednesday, Brora Rangers defeated Lossiemouth 1-0. It was the same score for Keith at Strathspey Thistle. Inverurie Locos stuck 4 past Wick Academy. Then on Saturday, the matches finished like this. Fraserburgh 3, Forest Mechanics 0. Banksadee 9, Strathspey Thistle 1. Brora Rangers 1, Huntley 0. Bucky Thistle 1, Fermartin United 0. Clach 1, Brechin City 2. Devonvale 3, Wick Academy 3. Heath 2, Inverurie Locos 3. Lossiemouth 2, Rothes 4. Antelope United 1, Nairn County 3. All that means the table is now like this. Bucky remain top on 87 points, having played a game more than Brechin. They're on 83, so they have to beat Keith away on Wednesday and follow that with a victory away to Bucky on Saturday in a title decider, which no team has been able to do in a pretty long time. So, Andrew, who's going to win the league?
You've got to fancy Bucky Thistle. I mean, that was a really important 3 points at the weekend, I guess, for Martin. For Martin, they're a really decent side. And for Bucky to go out there and beat them, given that the nerves must be jangling now, they're so close to winning the title. But they got over the line. Max Barry was the man of the match, ex-Aberdeen player. And I think it's the experience of guys like Max that can see Bucky through. They go into the game, you would imagine, I'm quite sure Brechin will beat Keith, with all due respect to all friends up at Keith. I think it's going to go down to the wire, and it's going to be the case that avoid defeat and you win the title for Bucky. Now, there's a slight danger there. Do you then sit back and then in the 93rd or 91st minute, a ricochet goes flying into your own net? I think Bucky will take the game to Brechin. That's their style. And it's going to be a humdinger of a game. There'll be a huge crowd along there at Victoria Park. And, you know, it's going to be a great advert for the Highland League, I'm perfectly sure. But I just think that having the points in the bag and not having to win the game, Bucky Thistle will do enough to get over the line.
I tell you, whoever wins, again, it's been another fantastic league, the Highland League campaign this season, and whoever wins is a deserving winner, you have to say.
Oh, totally, totally, without question. But Brechin will be absolutely gutted if they don't win it this time, because I think they've thrown everything at the Highland League, and it did look for a spell as though they were going to win it, albeit they had to make up games in hand. But these two draws that you mentioned against Fraserburgh and against Brora Rangers could have killed them, because Bucky have been relentless. They've been a little bit like the other side in green and white hoops in Scottish football. They just don't stop. They keep on winning. And all credit to them for doing that.
Okay, in the juniors, Dave.
Bankery, St Terran 0, Hermes 5, Bridgeton Thistle 5, Stonywood Parkdale 0, Cooter 3, Stonehaven 0. That means that Cooter just need 5 points from their final 4 league games to clinch the title. East End 3, Nairn St Mirren 0, Maud 1, Dufftown 2, Montrose Rosalie 2, Ellen United 1. In the Championship, Aberdeen University 0, Sunnybank 4. Sunnybank are leaders at the moment, but they just need 1 point now to make sure of their promotion back to the top flight where they belong. Glentanner 1, Burkhead Thistle 2, Longside 3, Banksadee GFC 0, Lossiemouth United 3, Cruden Bay 0, Rothy Rovers 3, Isle of Wight 0. In the in the Elginshire Cup second round, Buckenhaven Hearts 0, Fraserburgh United 2, Newmarket United 1, Devonside 1, and Devonside winning 3-2 on penalty kicks. Tonight, Cooter have the chance to pick up 3 of the 5 points they need when they entertain Bridgeton Thistle at Crombie Park in the Premier League. And also tonight, East End are at home to Dice, and that'll be Dice's final game, so an early finish for Alfie Youngson and co. In the Championship, Burkhead Thistle against Lossiemouth United, Cruden Bay against Buckenhaven Hearts, Fraserburgh United versus Devonside, Isle of Wight against New Elgin, Newmacker United against Rothie Rovers. That's the pick of the bunch for me. And in the Elginshire Cup, first round at Sunnybank against Glentanner, and in the quarter-final of the McLemmon Cup at Glenurie Park, Stonehaven take on Stonywood Parkvale. All games kick off at 6:30.
And that is pretty much it for episode 78 of Pittodrie PS. We aim to publish every week on a Tuesday if we can. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.